When our Lord bowed his head and died, the veil in the temple that stood before the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were rent. And a centurion, seeing what was done, glorified God, saying, "Indeed, this was the Son of God." Great multitude had come out of the city to witness the crucifixion of Christ. They saw his sublime holiness and incomparable courage and what evil men had done to him. They beheld the marvelous events in nature that transpired that day. And they returned to the city lamenting what had happened to Christ. St. Luke says, "And all the multitude of them that were come together to that site and saw the things that were done returned, striking their breasts." The religious leaders had already gone to Pilate. They asked that the legs of those crucified be broken, for the great Sabbath day was at hand, and the bodies had to be taken down from the crosses before sunset. When the legs of a crucified person are broken, death follows quickly, for such a one cannot raise himself up to breathe and thus asphyxiates. The permission was given by Pilate. The soldiers, therefore, broke the legs of the two thieves. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. St. John says one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. St. John was there on Calvary. He stood beside the Blessed Mother, and he was an eyewitness to the crucifixion. In his gospel, he says of himself, "And he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true. And he knoweth that he saith it true, that you also may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, you shall not break a bone of him." And again, another scripture saith, "You shall look on him whom they pierced." They took the body of Jesus down from the cross, and there beneath the cross, to receive the dead Christ, was his Blessed Mother. The woman of sorrows received the man of sorrows into her arms. Hers were the first arms to hold him. Hers would be the last. For this moment, he had prepared her from the time of his birth. Thus the prophet Simeon had foretold that Jesus was destined for the rise and fall of many and for a sign of contradiction. The sign of contradiction is the cross. "And thy own soul," Simeon said to Our Lady, "a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." When our Lord was 12 years old, he renewed the preparation for this day. At that time, he had stayed in Jerusalem, and Our Lady and Saint Joseph searched for him for 3 days. When they found him, he said to them, "Why did you search for me?" Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? What transpired on Calvary on the first Good Friday was his Father's business. And the Blessed Mother knew it. She knew it and she accepted it. No doubt many in the crowd who had come to mock the King of the Jews must have been silenced by the sight of this mother holding the dead body of her son in her arms beneath the cross. Some already were in awe of Christ, even the soldiers, for they had never seen such sublime courage as they had witnessed that day in Christ, and such goodness. Never had it been known that a crucified man would forgive the very ones who nailed him to the cross. Never was it known that a crucified man should seek to comfort another as he comforted the good thief and promised him paradise. And now look at him. He is dead in the arms of his mother. The shouts of blasphemy are gone from the air. The mockers are silenced. Fear has replaced their cries of derision, for they sensed they were in the presence of things divine. Even nature registered its complaints and sighed its relief when his sufferings came to an end. For the strange and terrible darkness that had come upon the earth when he was raised upon the cross gave way to light when he died. The earth quaked and the sun appeared in the sky. The sun that hid its face in shame for what men had done to their Creator was now shining, as though the man of sorrows and the mother of sorrows had somehow won a great victory. And indeed, it was so. In 3 days, he would rise triumphantly from the dead. And the fruit of his merits that he grew on the tree of life, which was his cross, will be put at the disposal of his church and his mother. When our Lord was born at Bethlehem, there were no pains of childbirth, for the pains of childbirth were the result of original sin. And he, being true God, was absolutely sinless. But on Calvary, there was pain for the Blessed Mother. The children that Mary brought forth on Calvary were born in original sin. And so the words addressed to all mothers regarding childbirth were addressed to her with regard to us who became her children in the person of St. John. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. We are the children of Mary. And in sorrow she brought us forth on Calvary. She suffered with her divine Son as only a mother can. And thus did she cooperate with him in the redemption. As one author put it, the pleasure of Eve was the cause of our death. The pain of Mary will be the source of our life. She was the most affectionate of creatures and the most perfect of mothers. But the salvation of our souls demanded the death of her son. The Father willed it, and Mary, again imbued with the virtue of the strength of God the Father, she willed it also. Again she said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." The offering which Christ made of himself was done, with the approval of his heavenly Father and his earthly mother. And thus did she truly become our most blessed mother. And what a mother she is, and what a son she bore. One drop of precious blood was enough to satisfy divine justice, but it was not enough to satisfy divine love. And thus, the passion and death of Christ proclaims to us his love for us and his infinite desire to be loved by us. May the sorrowful mother of our crucified Savior enlighten us with a true understanding of our Lord's immense love for us. And may she obtain for us all the graces we need to have true contrition for our past sins, and to be firmly resolved never more to offend her divine Son again.